Good morning, friends, and welcome to Tabernacle United Church. Welcome to this time of worship where we are gathered here to worship God and to remember who we are and whose we are, and that we belong to God and we belong to each other. I'm glad to see many of you this morning, and especially want to welcome those of you who are visiting. If you are visiting with us for the first time, we're glad you're here. And if you want to introduce yourself, if you're visiting for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. So you can use the chat feature on this Zoom meeting and let us know your name if you'd like, and even contact information. If you don't want to do that, you can also email me specifically and let me know on the email address that is will be in front of you in just a moment on the next slide. It's tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. So you can let me know if you would like to be in touch, and we're glad you're here this morning. I have just a few announcements for us to share, and I want to say, first of all, that today is Communion Sunday. So if you want to take a few moments now or a little later in the service to gather some elements that you can set aside for communion, you can use bread or crackers or anything really that is this can be the symbol of Christ's body for you. And juice or water, wine, or anything that you can use that will be symbolic of the blood of Christ for you. So we will have time to share in communion later on in the service. So please prepare those elements and we will set them aside for that sacrament later. Also, in today, after our meeting, immediately following the service, we are having a congregational meeting, as many of you are well aware. And it's an important meeting where we will be voting on sanctuary, actually renewing our commitment to be a sanctuary church. But we are voting specifically today on hosting a family in our building. And so it's a big, big vote, and we are especially want to encourage all members to attend who can vote, but we also invite everyone to come. We appreciate hearing voices and just seeing support from folks who are not members, but to get a sense of all of us there at the meeting, we would love for everyone to stay for that meeting. It's an important one. So please plan to stay with us following our service today. Finally, just want to highlight that next Sunday we will be having a class immediately after the service called On Exploring Membership. So if you are interested in becoming a member or just curious about it, would like to know what that means, we would welcome you to join that meeting. That will be next Sunday after our service on August 9th. So those are the announcements I wanted to share with you this morning. We're going to continue now in our time of worship, as we call ourselves to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. This is a new day filled with new possibilities. We gather together to join in the new things that God is doing. Old and negative ways need to be left behind. God comes to us with new ideas and new ways and energizes all to join the adventures. Those who think they may have nothing to share may miss new opportunities to connect with and support others. Let us together explore the always renewing possibilities that God offers us to share what we have with others. May it be so.
Please join me in singing, "Great Are You, Lord." Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You are holy and just. By your power we trust in your love. Great are you, Lord. You are faithful and true. By your mercy you prove you are love. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are you, Lord, we lift up our voice. We lift up our voice. Great. holy and just. By your power we trust in your love. Great are you, Lord, you are faithful and true. By your mercy you prove you are love. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are you, Lord, we lift up our voice, we lift up our voice. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. And let's sing together, Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You moved on the waters, you called to the deep. Then you coaxed up the mountains from the valleys of sleep. And over the eons, you called to each thing. Awake from your slumber. And rise on your wings. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You swept through the desert, you stung with the sand, and you goaded your people with the law and the land. When they confounded with idols and lies, then you spoke through your prophets to open their eyes. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the
God of abundance and hope, our hearts are filled with concern for family and friends, for our country and our world. Many of us don't see how we can be of help to others. We pray that you will calm us and strengthen us so that we might reach out with compassion to support others in need. Fill us with an awareness of your presence in all that we do, to love and care for our families and our communities. May we be grateful for your mercy and your love in all situations. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Once it's here, here it is.
How do I see all the participants?
God of mercy and hope, we know we have not been the kind of disciples that you have called us to be. We have turned our backs on people in need. We have closed our ears to the cries of those without voices. We act as if we do not have enough to offer, when the truth is that we have all that we need. We pray that you will forgive our weakness and that you will strengthen us and give us the courage to reach out and help meet the needs of others. Help us to be the bearers of your good news of peace and wholeness. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. God hears our prayers and has mercy on us. Know that God delights in each of us. Go in love, offering healing and hope to others. God will be with us always. Praise be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
I invite you to sing with me, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my soul's shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. I, King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright and sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all.
And now, friends, you can unmute yourself, and we are going to pass the peace of Christ with one another, the peace that Jesus offers us. We receive and we send that peace and offer that peace to each other. Let us share the peace of Christ with each other.
Peace.
Peace be with you.
And also with you. Peace to you.
Peace, all.
Peace.
Oh no, 18, 19,
20,
22,
23,
24, 25.
Peace.
Peace, everyone.
Peace, y'all.
Hi, peace, Lynn and Andy. Good to see you.
Tonya.
Hi, Tonya.
Hi, Tonya.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy, Jenny.
Oh, hi, Oscar.
Hi, Heather and Oscar.
Peace. Peace be with you all. Hope you enjoy this beautiful day.
Oh.
Thanks, Nick. Peace be with you.
Nick.
Be with you, everyone.
Hi, 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 hi.
You're silly.
He said, "Peace be with you."
All right.
Daddy, boy.
I love scrolling through also.
You see me scrolling?
Peace, everyone.
Peace, everyone.
Peace, everybody.
Our first scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. At the time, Herod the ruler heard reports about Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. For Herod had arrested John, bound him and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been telling him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' Though Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd, because they regarded him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company, and she pleased Herod so much that he promised an oath to grant her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter.' The king was grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he commanded it to be given, and he sent and had John beheaded in the prison. The head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, who brought it to her mother. His disciples came and took the body and buried it, and then they went and told Jesus." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
We're going to move into a special time for the children. So children, feel free to move a little closer to the screen as we gather together for children's time. Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me. Come as a child, oh come and see.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. I have two things here. So in front of me, I have two books about who? Who are these books about?
Superman.
Superman, save the day. Superheroes, right?
Mm-hmm.
We love stories about superheroes. Well, this week, I heard a lot of stories about a man named John Lewis. So there's a picture of him, and he died recently. And so lots of people have been telling stories about John Lewis. And I think the most important thing, let me turn my screen back around. The most important thing that I want to tell everybody is that John Lewis wasn't a superhero. And that is a really important thing to know, because when we listen to stories about superheroes, sometimes we think that we have to be a superhero to do something good. We think we have to be a superhero to do something good, but we don't. John Lewis was just an ordinary person, but he changed the world and he changed our country. He worked to make us a more fair and a more just place. He didn't have superpowers. He was just an ordinary person. He listened to God's message of love and justice preached by people like Dr. King, and he started to work for justice when he was just a teenager. He knew it was the right thing to do, and he did it even though it took a lot of time and even though it was sometimes dangerous. It made his family nervous, but he did it anyway. He spoke about the rights of all people and demanded justice. When he died recently, people gathered and talked about his courage and his perseverance. Huh. Yeah, it's okay. But someone who worked for him talked about how kind he was, how he greeted everyone and took time to listen to their stories, and how that often made him very, very, very late, which I liked. I think it's important that we take time for what's important. He showed love in big ways and in small ways. And sometimes it's tricky when we hear stories about Jesus, because a lot of the stories, so there's John Lewis, a lot of the stories about Jesus make us think that Jesus was a superhero, because Jesus does things that we didn't understand. But it's really important for us to also see the things that Jesus did that we can also do. Stories and have courage to do the hard work of love and justice, and we can treat all people with kindness. We all have superpowers. Let's ask God to help us use them. So let's say a prayer. God, thank you for the lives of people who show us your way and help us to know that we can do love in big ways and in small ways. Amen.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God. Let's sing together, Here I Am, Lord. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone. Give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. The Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go.
Jim, do you want to try to share your screen again so we can see the slides? Are you? If not, oh wait, here it goes. I don't see as the slides, so I will just continue here. Oh, wait, here we go. All right, there we go. Let me just say a few words before I start the reading of the second scripture reading and the sermon. Just want to say a thanksgiving for Justin Yoder for leading music this morning. I meant to mention that in the beginning of the service and forgot that. I'm really grateful for you, Justin, and for your leadership this morning, for your voice and music is beautiful. So thank you for that. And we, in the meantime, are also blessing PAX as PAX is enjoying some time off, which we all need rest. So we're grateful to support PAX in getting some rest this weekend next, and we're grateful to have Justin. Also want to give thanks for Jim Gerhard, who is hosting this Zoom meeting today. It's difficult to host a Zoom meeting, let me just tell you that. And so we really give thanks for Jim's work today to host this meeting, and we're asked for your patience too as we work through the funny little things that happen on Zoom and trying to do this. And we also give thanks for Shell, who's on vacation, who normally is doing this. We bless her as she is also getting some time of rest. So thanks to Jim and Justin and all those who are helping with this service this morning. Let's hear now the second scripture reading from Matthew, which is coming right after the scripture reading you heard Pauline read. It's a continuation of that passage. So let's hear this second part. Now, when Jesus heard the news about John's murder, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured the sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? God, we thank you for this story. And we thank you that you invite us into this story to be actors, participants in your story. Please help us find ourselves in this story. Help us to receive and claim that calling that is on our lives from you, and give us courage. God, I ask that you would speak through me, and I ask that you would speak in spite of me, that the words of my heart, or that the words from my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Amen. So this week, as many of you know already, the Trump administration announced its defiance of a federal court order for the full restoration of DACA. DACA is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival, which is a program that allows young immigrants to stay and work in the U.S. legally. The administration is defying that federal order and is refusing to accept new applicants in the program. This is another attack on the immigrant community. And what would it feel like, for example, if we imagined, what would it feel like to have only known the U.S. as your home, having grown up here as a child, and then to live under the threat of you or a family member being snatched away, being deported to a place you have never known or never lived? We already know that this administration's harmful, we know about this administration's harmful and murderous policies against immigrants. If we look at the asylum system alone, every effort is being made to dismantle that system. We are speeding up the deportation of asylum seekers, often without legal protection. Only about 20% of all claims for asylum are actually approved. And the rate of refusal has grown in the last 6 years, every year. The rate of refusal has grown. This administration has done a good job of keeping more people out of the country and deporting more people who are here. One of the current president's first official acts in office was to free up deportation officers from the Obama-era restraints so that they could arrest people who in many cases committed no crime and who had been residing in this country for a long time. Being in this country for a long time, this was the situation for the Thompson family, a family originally from Jamaica who had been living here in the U.S. for close to 17 years. We at Tabernacle have been supporting this family in various ways as they are currently living in sanctuary at First United Methodist Church in Germantown. and they've been there now for 2 years. Clive and Juanita Thompson arrived here in 2004, and they requested asylum. Though they didn't, they were allowed to stay as their case went forward. And over the years, they have been able to purchase a home in New Jersey. They have jobs and they pay taxes. Two of their children were born here and are American citizens. But that changed, all of this changed dramatically in 2018 when their plea was denied again and they were ordered by ICE to get plane tickets and leave the country within a week. That's when they entered sanctuary in Germantown with the help of New Sanctuary Movement. If deported, Clive and Juanita would be separated from all of their children, including their two youngest children who have only known life here in the United States. Not to mention the danger and threat to Clive and Juanita if they were deported, the threat to their lives. The immigration policies that we are seeing under this administration, they are unjust, but even more than that, they are actually murderous. They are killing people, putting people directly in harm's way. What is the role of the church in these circumstances? What do we do as a church in the face of policies that are killing people? Today, in this time and place, in this hot August of 2020, in what I would call the disunited states of racist America, under a murderous administration, we at TAB are trying to be the church. We are trying to be the church. We are trying to follow Jesus in 2020. I wanted us to hear this morning a longer reading of the gospel passage. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21 is the passage I read, and that is an assigned reading in the lectionary for this Sunday. But what comes before, verses 1 to 12, which Pauline read for you, the political context of King Herod, that is not in the lectionary, but it comes right before the passage that I read. And I wanted us to hear verses 1 to 12 because verses 1 to 12 give us a political context, a political backdrop for Jesus's feeding ministry in verses 13 to 21. Let's remember always that Jesus lived in a political context just like us. To talk about King Herod is like talking about the current administration, the current Trump administration. And so I wanted us to hear about King Herod today. I wanted us to hear it because King Herod has a lot to do with how we interpret the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus is often subtly and yet sometimes not so subtly, a ministry that is in resistance to Herod's murderous policies. Today, we learn that Herod was having a birthday party. He's got his fine foods. He's got his fine palace. He's got the dancers for entertainment. He's got his new lover, which happens to be his brother Philip's wife. And the prophet John the Baptist actually confronts Herod about this relationship and says it's not just. It's not just according to the law. You shouldn't be doing this. Herod didn't like being told that there are some things he can't do. He was used to getting everything he wanted. So he has John thrown in jail, but he didn't have him executed because he didn't want to upset his political base too much. So that was his decision. However, his party, who knows, maybe got rowdy with all the drinking that was going on. And when people are drinking and things get rowdy, decisions get made. And by the end of the night, the prophet John is executed as a party favor, essentially. It's really a horrible story right here in this gospel text. It paints a picture of the kind it paints a picture of the Herod administration and how it blatantly rejects prophetic voices, that's first of all, but then it also blatantly disregards life, the lives of those who are not among the elite. And that story comes right before the story of Jesus going into the deserted place and feeding people. We have to ask, why is this story of Herod in the Gospel of Matthew? Why is this story of Herod's birthday party right before the story of Jesus in the wilderness, who is having a party of a different kind? We might say it's a very different kind of party. Well, I think the story of Herod is there to show us in no uncertain terms that Jesus's ministry, which ought to be the ministry of the church, is a ministry that resists the murderous ways of empire. Jesus's ministry, in contrast to Herod, is a ministry that centers those who are most harmed by the empire. It's important that we see this while Herod is dining at his party with the elite. The gospel then pivots away from that scene and focuses us into this deserted area where Jesus and his disciples become the hosts of a different banquet altogether, a banquet of thousands of poor folk and peasants who are filled with hunger to hear Jesus's teaching about the kingdom and about liberation, but they are also filled with hunger because they're hungry. They need food. Their actual bellies are hungry. Which is another question that is raised in these two stories. While Herod and the elite gorge on too much, there are thousands who are going without the basics. We're supposed to see the contrast. Those in attendance at this banquet in the wilderness are the very people who are the victims of Herod's unjust policies. And Jesus is there with them, not in the palace with Herod. Jesus is there with the crowds of hungry folk. And what he sees, no doubt, after hearing of John's death, what he sees is how Herod's administration is impacting the lives of these people whom he loves and whom he has compassion for. And so he offers them first healing. But then evening comes and the disciples are tired and they say, look, Jesus, these folk need to go now. They need to get food for themselves. And Jesus says, well, how about you give them something to eat? You can almost see the disciples' expression as he says that. It's an expression I often have in the face of something that Jesus says, which is, there's thousands of people out there. We don't have anything. I mean, we have five loaves and two fish, but without skipping a beat, Jesus says, bring them to me. Bring the loaves and the fish to me. And so Jesus breaks the bread, gives it to the disciples, and the disciples give it to the people, and the miracle takes place, a banquet in the wilderness where poor folk are fed and are full, and then there are leftovers for tomorrow. Now, what we must not do is read this story and just say, wow, look at Super Jesus. I love Lucinda's message this morning because this is it. We must not look at this story and say, look at how super Jesus is. He's a miracle worker and he can multiply loaves. If all we do is celebrate Super Jesus and see this story as simply proof of his divinity, then we won't wonder what this story has to do with us. Because if this story is just about showing us how divine Jesus is, how super he is, that leaves us without a calling. And worst case, we throw up our hands and say, well, too bad Super Jesus doesn't do those kind of miracles anymore. I actually don't think that Jesus was interested in making sure that people worship him as some kind of a superhuman. I don't think he cared about that. He was interested in making disciples who would do the work of the kingdom. That was what he was interested in. And so let's notice what the story asks us to do as disciples, because that's what Jesus cares about. What does he say? He says, You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. In other words, look at what you have. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you have that you are able to share. I would argue that the miracle taking place begins when the disciples start to realize that what they have is enough. That what they have is enough, and that God will use what they have and multiply it for God's purposes. The spiritual turning for the disciples is to see themselves as participants in this miracle of sharing, so that all poor and peasant folk are fed as they should be in God's empire. I think in the face of all that is wrong today, with the backdrop of this administration's murderous immigration policies that pushes people to leave their homes for fear of being raided by ICE and deported, Jesus says to the church, you give them something. As a community, you give them something. You give them something to eat. You give them sanctuary. Jesus doesn't ask us to give what we don't have. Jesus asks us to bring what we have, our gifts, our resources, our time, our love, our passion, our hunger for justice. What do you have? That is what Jesus is asking us. Bring what you have and trust that God will take your gifts and use them toward the miracle of fruitfulness beyond even what we can imagine. I believe today that Jesus is looking at our little band of ragtag disciples at Tabernacle United Church, and that he sees more potential in what we have to give than we might even see in ourselves and in our community. We're so good at making excuses, and I know I am all the time in my discipleship journey with Jesus. I say things like, well, we're pretty small, or we don't have that much space, or we don't have that many people, and on we go. But Jesus isn't interested in that. Jesus asks us, what do you have? What do you have? And what do we have at TAB? We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what we have. And because we have 5 loaves and 2 fish, I think we ought to vote yes today at our meeting to offer sanctuary to an immigrant family who faces the threat of deportation. Our physical building is to serve for God's glory and as a sanctuary for God's people. We have that to offer. And we also have each other. We have this small but powerful human community of all of us here on Zoom and beyond, who are willing and have already been putting labor and resources into making our building space more of a home space so that we can offer sanctuary. Can we resolve or can we solve the unjust policies of our immigration system by doing this? No. Is this a rather small act of resistance to the harmful policies that are affecting immigrants of color? Yes, it's small. But I think God loves small. Small acts of love, small acts of resistance, just a few loaves, just a couple fish. Jesus doesn't ask us to bring what we don't have. Jesus asks us to share what we have and to do that with community, not as in just as individuals, but with community, and to trust then that God will take what we have and multiply it into the miracle that is fruitfulness, that is beyond our control. I think to offer a little shelter to people who are facing the storms of this murderous administration, this is the work of the kingdom. And what I see us doing at TAB today and into the future, and also with pride for our witness in the past, I am truly filled with joy and grateful for all of you. And so let's keep doing the work and be the church in this year and in 2020 as we face difficulty as a country. Let's be the church. Amen.
Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia.
Katie's sermon is the best invitation to make an offering that I can imagine, not just to invite us to offer up our physical building, but also to think about how we can give our own time and talents and resources to do the work of God. So now is the time to give as you are able, either electronically by texting any amount to 84321 or going online to tabunited.org/donation or by putting a check in the mail the old-fashioned way. Any amount is appreciated.
Oh, gather up the brokenness, bring it to me now, the fragrance of those promises you never dared to vow, the splinters that you carry, the cross you left behind, come healing of the body. Come healing of the mind, and let the heavens hear it, the penitential hymn. Come healing of the spirit, come healing of the limb. Behold the gates of mercy in arbitrary space, and none of us deserving of the cruelty or the grace. O solitude of longing, where love has been confined, come healing of the body. Come healing of the mind. Oh, see the darkness yielding that tore the light apart. Come healing of the reason. Come healing of the heart. Thank you. above the branches to lift the little bud. O longing of the arteries to purify the blood. Then let the heavens falter a penitential hymn. Come healing of the altar, come healing of the limb. O troubled dust concealing an undivided love, the heart beneath is teaching to the broken heart above. And let the heavens falter, we'll let the earth proclaim, come healing of the altar, come healing of the name. O thronging of the branches to lift the little bud, O longing of the arteries to purify the blood. And let the heavens hear it, the penitential hymn. Come healing of the spirit, come healing of the limb. Oh, let the heavens hear it, the penitential hymn. Come healing of the spirit, come healing of the limb. Come healing of the spirit, come healing of the limb. Come healing of the spirit, come healing of the limb. God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Creator Christ and Holy Ghost.
Creator, thank you for all that you have given us. Help us use the gifts and offerings made today to be the type of disciples you call us to be, both collectively as a community and individually, today and every day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pauline, for that prayer. And we're going to continue now in our praying and in our time of lifting up our concerns and joys and testimonies before God and one another. If you are new this morning or you're joining us for the first time, this is a time that we open up this space for you to share. You're welcome to use now the chat function to share a joy or a struggle or any other prayer concerns you might have. And then we will be with you in spirit and lifting up those prayers with you. So you can do that now. We open up the space for that sharing. And Lucinda is going to read the prayers that come in. So feel free to share now. And we'll just take a few minutes to let those prayers come in. And then we will pray them out loud. So let's enter into a time of prayer and in the spirit of listening to each other and lifting up what is on our hearts as God is listening to, and we entrust all of these things to God's care. So let us share.
I'll go first and share a great joy that we were able to deliver many, 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 many bags of clothing to the Broad Street Ministry, along with other things that folks have sent directly to the Broad Street Ministry. So I just thank everyone from Tabernacle who has donated. And I just pray that God would bless, even in such a small way, anyone who receives the clothing that we donated, and that we can work for justice so we don't have to do this. But I just am so glad that we could meet a need in our community at this time. So God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Alaska, prayers for my parents would be appreciated. Prayers for my parents would be appreciated. The church they work at decided to reopen today despite concerns. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Rob Thornton, prayers to all people seeking asylum, prayers for people who are helping those seeking asylum, and a celebration. Kiki and I celebrate 1 year of marriage, prayers for trying to find a home to call our own. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Pauline, a great joy that my parents, Anna Maria and Fred, are able to join us today through the wonders of Zoom. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gina, prayers of gratitude that Anna's eye condition has improved significantly. Hallelujah. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Fletcher, prayers for the Temple University community, which is moving forward with plans to return most students and about 30% of the faculty to campus. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Anna, prayers of joy that I have decided to attend United Seminary, thanks in large part to the inspiration and love of the TAB community. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I want to ask for one more prayer request, just for all the children and families in Philadelphia who will be struggling with the decision that school will be all virtual for the fall. I know that so many families are struggling with that, and it's really on my heart for what we can do to keep folks safe and to meet needs. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Susan Wargo. Oh, from Donald. Dear Lord, help us to remember and pray for every day those who are sick and those who have died from COVID. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Beth, a prayer for the arts and culture sector that is desperate for relief from the government. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Ginny, I ask for prayers for Daniel, a valued friend of my son Jay's family, who is seriously ill with COVID on a ventilator. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. from Erica. Prayers for a friend who's staying with her daughter who has COVID. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Chris Purdom. Prayers for patience as we try to bring the website back up and for those who are looking for a spiritual home and not finding us right now. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Thank you to each of you who have lifted up the prayers of your heart, and we honor your prayers and lift them up in spirit together. Know that each time a prayer comes in and it's read out loud, we hold that with you and we lift up that prayer with you. And we lift up these prayers to God who invites us to find rest and shelter under her wings. So we give thanks for these prayers, and we also lift up the ones that are still on our hearts that I know many of us carry. So let's sing together as we lift up these prayers. Lord, listen to your children praying. Let's sing together.
Listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power. Send us grace, send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Amen. Friends, this is the time where we come to the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. And so if you want to find elements, if you don't have them already, of bread or crackers or juice or water to bring to this table. We are one body, one cup of blessing. And though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are one in Christ. Remember that there are no boundaries to God's love or to this feast, and that no matter who you are or what you have done, where you are on life's journey, you are welcome at the table of God. And even though the table is in your care, is in your home, that table belongs to God. And so we are now seeing Jesus and God as the host of our tables, and we are welcome to them. As we sing our invitational song, I invite you to bring your elements to that table and to prepare your hearts for this time of sharing in the sacrament. So let's sing as we prepare. Come to the table of grace. Let's sing. If you are sitting with people, you can join hands together, or if you are alone, you can rest your hands lightly upon the elements in front of you and let us pray together. God of life and all creatures, from the first day to this day, you have showered us with gifts of mercy and grace. From the first day to this day, you have sent us signs and wonders, prophets and dreamers, to call us to yourself and offer us your grace. Healing for our brokenness, release from our pain, calm for mental stress, peace for soul grief and regret, pardon to remedy our sin, and justice to make life whole and glad. Thanks and praise to you for all your gifts, and most of all for Jesus, our wounded, risen friend, who abides with us here in mystery as he abided the last night among his friends. From his safe and holy hands, you give us this, our daily bread, his body surrendered for us. From his safe and holy hands, we also now receive this brimming cup, this life poured out for us. We remember him now as he told us to do whenever we break his bread and drink his cup at our tables. And as we take him to ourselves in this time of illness and fear, we remember before you the people we love, the enemies we do not love, and all who suffer in this world, the frail and falling sparrows on whom your eye is fixed. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and broke it, just like he did in the wilderness with his disciples and the many thousands of poor folk. He blessed it and broke it, but this time he said, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Every time you eat this, remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup and blessed it and said, "This is my blood. It's poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the cup of the new covenant. Whenever you drink of this, remember me." And so in our many places, wherever we are, in our many homes, we receive these gifts from God, the body of Christ, the bread of life. You may eat. And in our many homes, we receive the gifts of God, the blood of Christ, the cup of mercy. You may drink. Let's sing together.
Bread, drink this cup, come to me and never be hungry. Eat this bread, drink this cup, trust in me and you.
Let us pray. By the grace and power of the Spirit, let all who share this cup and bread be one in Christ, no matter where we are, near or far, together or apart, one in heart and purpose, one in love and service, one in fearless witness to new heavens and new earth, that joyous realm to come, whereby your promise there will be no sickness and dying, no tears and grieving, but only joy, only life, only justice, only you. All praise and thanks to you, God of all life, now and forever. Amen. And let us pray now the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together our Parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we prepare to leave this place of gathering together, let's sing together, I bind my heart this tide. I bind my heart this tide to the Galilean side, to the wounds of Calvary, to the Christ who died for me. I bind my soul this day to the stranger far away, and the stranger near at hand, in this town and in this land. I bind my heart in thrall to the God, the Lord of all, to the God, the poor one's friend, and the Christ whom he did send. I bind myself to peace, to make strife and envy cease. God, knit thou sure the cord of my thraldom to my Lord. Amen.
Amen. And thanks again, Justin, for the music today. Friends, I want to remind you as you go forth and go forward this week to remember that God doesn't ask you ever to give what you don't have. And God also doesn't ask us to give alone or to do any of these things, to do discipleship, to follow Jesus alone. We need community. We need each other. And so remember those two things, that God asks you to give what you have and God asks you to do it with others. So let's keep those words in our hearts and remember as we go forward today that blessing from Jesus on our lives. Go in peace. Amen. So in this awkward silence that follows, we are going to take just a couple minutes to shift to our meeting time. But I want to give people a chance to stretch, to stand up, to use a restroom or to get a drink or some snacks or whatever. So I would like to ask that we just let's take 5 minutes before we move into our meeting. I think that would be good for everyone. So let's join back. We'll just keep the meeting on. I know that I'll be taking over the hosting duties, and then we'll get started in 5 minutes. So at 11:30, we'll come back. And so those of you, we hope everyone can stay. If you need to go, that's okay. But please come back in 5 minutes, and we'll join. We'll start. All right, I am unmuting myself here and going to give us just, just want to make sure everyone is in their rooms here as far as I can see that everyone is here. So let's just wait one more minute. Lucinda has a picture. There's a Pictionary game going on, maybe. So let's see. Susan says we're all muted. Okay, and I am now host, so I have the powers. Let me see.
Levi's cold
in there.
Have like another
blanket. All right, I think I've
overnight.
Also, as host, Katie, can you stop the recording?
Yes.